There's the world-famous Chuck Crabb. Good morning.
Good morning. Sitting here enjoying and about to have join us our good friend.
Well, let's add to the party here on the Big Show Friday, St. Patrick's Day. Joe Smith joins us every Friday morning, 7:45 and 8:45. Smitty, good morning.
Happy St. Patty's Day. Let's see, Smith, Crabb, and Glasgow. None of us are Irish, but
close.
We salute the Irish.
We do.
I'm part Irish. Yeah. My mother was Irish.
Yep, I've got a Harrison. That was my mother's maiden name. Got so a little get back there.
A little UK mutt in me.
We got a little in our blood then.
Yeah, we do, for certain.
And here we meet on a Friday morning. It's one of change, Joe, and Indiana University yesterday deciding through its vice president and director of athletics, Fred Glass, that a coaching change in men's basketball would be the way forward. As I've spent most of the morning talking about, I thought it was that's exactly what I wanted to hear if I was an Indiana basketball fan. Let's have your take here on a Friday morning.
Well, the Tom Crean era, now history, and we move the Indiana basketball program forward. Beyond was not so much the fan frustration, I don't think, but because of the inconsistent manner in which the program was currently at. Noted more than once Thursday by Vice President, Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, who had a 37-minute news conference in the basketball media room yesterday afternoon in Simon Scott Assembly Hall, as he told us. He made the decision not because it was popular, because popular tends to change, but made the decision Wednesday evening because it was right, because right tends not to change. Glass has a meeting with the players set for Sunday night, since Indiana is right now in spring break or winding it up. The players were informed of the firing through text messages on Thursday. In the interim, trainer Tim Carl, Derek Elston, the former Hoosier, of course, and current director of player development, academic advisor Maddie White, and assistant deputy AD and basketball sport administrator Scott Dawson will oversee team activities until a new hire is made, and that'll be a few weeks away. You know, if you'll recall, even after a Big Ten title a year ago, Crean's second since 2013, and Coach of the Year honors, there was no discussions with regards to an extension. Glass did tell us that he weighed basically three options. Give him one, let him move forward following the 18-16 season and 10th place finish in the Big Ten without any security job-wise, or make a change. Glass told us, Crean, when informed of the change on Thursday morning, was willing to move forward without an extension, but Glass said that he was the one who wasn't comfortable allowing Crean to continue, who had 3 years left, by the way, adding, I think he would have been on the hot seat from day one, and I can't say that I wouldn't have, said that would not have happened, given the current state of things, with the way that the total outpouring has been from the fan base, not to mention the waning support from members of the IU Board of Trustees and the upper crust of donors, to be honest, to the basketball program. Glass begins his national search. Probably won't see or hear from him publicly until he concludes his search, and March Madness concludes, and it just started. Glass runs the show. He showed us that back in December, firing football coach Kevin Wilson. We saw it Thursday, sending Crean packing. You know, it's a business. Indiana basketball is a sacrament. And in Glass's hand, the cards dealt him, he was holding high levels of success. He was holding a card of high expectations. Big Ten championships, deep runs in the NCAA tournament, more NCAA championships with his trump ace, and the trump ace was consistency. Ultimately, the lack of consistency caused the Crean separation. Because he was terminated without cause, Crean will receive a $4 million buyout for being fired with 3 seasons left, or it amounts to a little over $1.3 million a year. In the meantime, the new Hoosier Hardwood boss's salary, well, Glass told us in winding up things, and I might add with very solid visions for the future and beyond, resources won't prevent us from who we want. We wish him, obviously, well, Fred Glass, over these next few weeks, winding up March, and certainly Our best out to Coach Tom, his staff, and family members. Well, it was a great start to the postseason for Terry Morin's crew. She indicated how great a good start would be should it come about, and boy, did it ever, as Indiana was red hot from the start. They led by as many as 23 in the second quarter. Ball State cut it to 8 with 3.5 to play in the fourth, but too much Indiana balance last night. And boy, when the women play well, that is just capitalized right there. Balance. Tyra Buss, 19 points to lead the way in this 71-58 first round blowout of the Cardinals in the WNIT. Amanda Cahill-Sharp again with 16 points. Hoosiers hit 40% from behind the line. They were 19 of 21 from the free throw line. Alexis Gassian, we had Lex on the other day. She had 14 points and a team-high 6 rebounds, not to mention 6 assists. Thought Kim Royster played well off the bench. She had 6 boards and 6 points. Jen Anderson, her usual tough job inside in the paint with 9 points. Hoosiers jumped quickly. They led 12-2. Got the start that Coach Terry was looking for, led 28-12 after one. So we sit at 21, and let's go for 22, and that would be a new program record. We've tied this a couple of times in St. Louis. The Billikens will be the opponent Sunday at 2 o'clock. Tickets are going to go on sale here a little bit later at the ticket office. Remain so through the weekend. And by the way, with that 71-58 win, the Hoosiers are tough. They're 9-0 now when holding opponents under 60. 58 was under 60. Indiana with 21 wins, and they move on. And we wish them the best. Sunday, 2 o'clock on the McCracken Court in the Simon Scott Assembly Hall.
Good stuff there, Joe, taking advantage of their opportunity and moving forward, as Chuck told us. Big start, and make those teams chase you. It's hard to chase you. Watch these NCAA tournament games on the television.
Well,
teams
the women are up 15, are home. 16 you know, points. This is a campus-based type tournament. So,
that's right.
Win. And we might be adding a banner April 1. Who knows? They got as good a chance as anyone. This is a tough field, but you know, this is what the women needed, especially coming off that downer against Purdue and being out of action for over a week. That was a great response last night.
Very much, very much.
And congratulations to Terry Morin and her crew. Great job, great performance yesterday from Fred Glass, as I've mentioned all morning. We'll have Zach Osterman from the Indy Star joining us next hour to look back on how we've got to this point and what we need to look at moving forward. So we'll have him join us just after 8:05 on the other side of things. Joe, the high school beat's quiet. Obviously, everybody's on spring break. That'll start turning here in the next couple weeks. When we come back at 8:45, we'll get caught up on the rest of the IU calendar that is happening this weekend.
Yeah, former North Cougar got involved in that come-from-behind win over in Hawaii for the baseballers, Colby Stratton. We'll talk a little about Colby's sack bunt that set up things. Indiana comes from behind and wins, and also the IU swimmers and divers, the ladies, front and center at the Natatorium all weekend long. We'll look at that as well.
All right, Joe, we'll talk coming back at 8:45.
We'll be here.
Good. I know you had a busy day yesterday as well, everybody at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall in the north end zone for the press conference with Fred Glass. We'll get to that momentarily, but there was a game in that gym last evening, and Terry Morin's Hoosiers getting their postseason off to a flying start.
Well, I tell you, Terry was looking for one thing, and that was response from her women after a disappointing loss to Purdue in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament, a loss that cost them a berth, possibly, in the NCAA tournament. But that said, they're in it to win it, and that's the WNIT, and they advanced big time to the round of 32 with a solid home court win last night before a respectable crowd cheering them on in the Assembly Hall, the Simon Scott Assembly Hall in the Branch McCracken Court. Balance, good shooting from behind the line, rebounding, you name it. They shared the ball well, 16 assists on 22 field goals, running away from Ball State right from the get-go, 71-58. Tyra Buss, it was Tyra Buss, 19 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, and a steal. Amanda Cahill had 16 points and 4 rebounds. The Hoosiers made them hurt from the line, and that was 19 of 21 from the free throw line. And when they weren't doing that while the clock was stopped, when the clock was running, they were gunning in 3-pointers to the tune of 40%. As Kim Royster came off the bench, had 6 points 6 rebounds. Jen Anderson, her normal fine job with 9 points. And how about Lexi? Alexis Cassian with 14 points and a team-high 6 rebounds and also a game-high 6 assists. Indiana started quickly, led by as many as 23 in the second quarter. They got it down, the Cardinals, to 8 in the fourth quarter with about 3.5 to play, but the Hoosiers took it from there and move on to the round of 32, where they'll face the Billikens of St. Louis on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and tickets will be going on sale here at 9 o'clock through the rest of the weekend. So support the women as they battle St. Louis on Sunday at 2 o'clock. Elsewhere on the sports beat, some late night action, and as I like to say occasionally, scores not in your morning dailies. The Hoosiers beat Hawaii 4-3. That followed up a 7-6 win they had Wednesday as they knocked off the Rainbow Warriors 4-3 early this morning. Matt Gorski's RBI ground out in the top of the ninth was the game winner, but it was all set up by Tony Butler and Colby Stratton. Butler drew a walk, and then Colby Stratton, the former North Cougar, laid down a beautiful sack bunt, and then Alex Skrupa got a base hit to put runners at the corners, and then the ground out by Gorski netted the win for Matt Lloyd, a young sophomore that we'll be watching this spring. He notched his first career win out of the pen as Chris Lamonis' relievers were up to snuff last night or early this morning. By the way, Luke Miller's two-run home run in the eighth tied things as the Hoosiers moved to 8-7-1 and continue the stay against the Hawaiians in Honolulu through the weekend. While that was happening out west, a little history, but Indiana was on the back half of it last night in water polo. Actually, it was in Hawaii as well, not on the west coast, but they took on the best in the country, and they reside on the west coast, and that is top-ranked USC. Taking on Ryan Castle's 15th-ranked Hoosiers, and the women lose 15-2, and that win by USC, the 47th straight win in water polo. That is a new NCAA record. Elsewhere, Texas Tech, the men lost to Texas Tech, the IU men did, 4-3. They played that match out in San Diego. In Las Vegas, Ramiro Asquith's women won their 10th of the year. They moved to 10-6 on the year as they beat Rutgers 5-2. Well, she went in last night, seeded 38th, or this week, and the young Canadian, Kennedy Goss, who represented her country in Rio de Janeiro, came out of the pool finishing third in the 500-yard freestyle to earn All-American honors. She finished third in the event as the Hoosier women of Ray Luce, off in good stead. We're halfway through the NCAA championships at the IU Natatorium as Goss and the crew take care of business. Kennedy, a two-time All-American, and she's not done just yet. She added All-American honors in addition to the 500 free and the 400 medley relay. She, along with Lily King, Gia D'Alessandro, and Holly Spears, as they won in a school record time of 3:28. They didn't win. They finished fifth, but still, that was a new school record in All-America honors out to the women, and we haven't heard the last from Lily either as we move through the weekend. Jessica Parado finished 10th, by the way, on the 3-meter board, but she's also going to be in the 3-meter and platform, and the platform is her cup of tea. We could see another NCAA championship before the weekend is over, so we'll recap it all on Monday as prelims will get underway the rest of the weekend at 10, and the finals each session will be at 6. We'll hang our hat on, ninth-seeded Nate Jackson. He is the only Hoosier alive in the NCAA Wrestling Championships going over in St. Louis. He won his opener at 184 over a young man from Drexel, but lost in sudden decision to Old Dominion's Jack Dekow, 7-5, to fall into the consolation round. The other wrestlers, Elijah Oliver, Jake Danishek, and Devin Skatska, all have been eliminated from competition. And don't forget, all weekend long, starting later today and through Sunday, NCAA March Madness right here. Compliments of Westwood One, so keep it dialed in and follow your brackets as well.
And only two upsets seeded yesterday. Joe, number six, Maryland was knocked off by Xavier, and Middle Tennessee beats Minnesota. Well, good two Big Ten teams getting lambasted in day one after everybody said, well, geez, why are you seeding us so? Gee whiz, you give us no respect.
Yeah, 3-2, you know, Wisconsin pulled out its win, Purdue and Northwestern won. And
all Wisconsin had to do was make 14 three-pointers, Joe. That's what got them through.
Koenig was hot, wasn't he?
He made eight of them himself. Beating Virginia Tech. Obviously, Fred Glass making a big decision yesterday. We don't have a ton of time to talk about it. But moving forward, encouraging things from the press conference. We'll see what Indiana basketball can be in the future. But it seems like there's no reason why, financially or otherwise, why it can't be.
Well, numbers-wise, financially, that's not going to be a problem. Fred ended up his press conference saying that. And now who will come in? Well, he's got the pick of the litter, or the litter looks on and takes a look at this Indiana job. And as you guys have suggested, and I think Fred was up to the point yesterday talking a little about what's best for the program. The program had hit a mode of inconsistency, thus the change after 9 years with Coach Tom. And always a difficult situation, but you know, like I mentioned, basketball is like a religion, a sacrament around here. How it's held, you know, we need to win more, and complacency dug a hole with inconsistency, and thus the change. But Fred will make the right decision, and he's got, as I say, the country to scan, and, you know, there'll be some names coming forth here. You know how social media works. There's already names out there. So.
That's fine, but Fred said you're not going to hear anything from him, so don't ask. He's cleared
don't
his
ask.
He's cleared
so
his
why
calendar.
Why even spit him out, huh?
Well, nobody had any idea that Tom Crean wouldn't be the coach 12:15 yesterday afternoon. That was not leaked anywhere, so I wouldn't expect any coaches being leaked.
No, you know, we talked about that team meeting and when I talked to you when we got back, and it surprised me a little, the whole scenario, but you know, again, it's a big business. Fred's the CEO, and, you know, he felt that there was time for a change.
His shoulders are big enough. He's taking care of his football
coach.
And
he did it the right way. He did it in a very right way.
All right, Smitty, have a great weekend. We'll get caught up on Monday morning.
Talk to you, my friend.
Joe Smith, 7:45, 8:45, Big Show Friday.